Hello, everyone. It's Paul Taylor here, and this is the podcast Becoming a Comedian. If you're new to the podcast, hello and welcome. It's a podcast about me and my life becoming a full-time stand-up comedian after having quit my job at Apple just over a year ago. So welcome to the podcast. It's been a few weeks since we talked, and I apologize again for the lateness of this. I think I'm going to have to really commit to a specific day of the week to do this, because otherwise I'm just going to keep getting lazy and feel bad. So hold me to it, people. Complain to me if I'm running late. Anyway, it's been 3 weeks. The last 3 weeks have been insane. The world has changed so much. I don't even have the words. I mean, we've got half an hour here. I can do it in an hour. I can do what I want, but I'm only going to do half an hour. But things, I mean, Brexit, let alone anything else. I could spend half an hour talking about Brexit, but I won't. We'll talk about it briefly. But anyway, before we get started, I just wanted to do the promotion of the show that I'm doing. It's hashtag Franglais, as you probably know, or you might not know. It's a show, a stand-up comedy show, half in English and half in French. And I'm performing it 3 more times in Paris this summer, or before the summer break. So basically tonight at 8 p.m. It's Tuesday the 12th, so that's tonight. Then there's Tuesday the 19th and Tuesday the 26th at 8 p.m. at a cool theatre called Sentier des Halles. So if you know somebody who's in Paris, or you live in Paris, or you want to come and see a show in both languages, send them along to the show. It would be great to finish the year, or the past 7 months of doing my show on a super high before we go on break for August, because we have to, because French people don't like to work. So, the last 3 weeks, my goodness, they've been intense. The last time I spoke to you was the 24th, was when I released the podcast, and in the previous one I was about to go on my whirlwind tour of the world with my show, starting with Caen in Normandy. What's going on outside? The fuck is going on? Mental people. My windows are open because it's hot, so you might randomly hear people like that. I don't know if you can hear it. I can't hear it in my headphones. But anyway, so I was going to Caen, I planned out the whole trip, because basically the 23rd of June I was doing my show in Caen, and the 24th of June I was doing my show in New York. So I had to figure out the logistics of getting from Caen to New York via Paris in this whole thing. So basically what I decided, there were no trains that were late enough back from Caen in the evening so that I could sleep in Paris, and the ones early in the morning, they could have got me here, but then I wouldn't have had the keys because the cat lady was coming to look after the cats. And by the way, speaking of the cat lady, I'm sure you're wondering, oh, Paul, did you get over your Hugh Grant moment with the cat lady? Yes, I did. I did get over that, and everything is now cool, primarily because we have a new cat lady who I feel less awkward around, and it's all fine. I just have to get through the language barrier of having to use the formal vu with people that are the same age as me or younger. Anyway, I had this whole thing, so I was like, all right, the only way for me to do this is to rent a car. So I had to go, I went to the airport in Paris on the 23rd in the morning, rented a car, drove 3 hours to Caen, performed the show, basically drove back to Paris after the show, parked the car by the flat, and then the next morning woke up and drove the car back to the airport, dropped the car off, and then took my flight. So it was it actually worked out pretty well. So yeah, I went to Caen, did my show in Caen, and it was honestly one of the best shows I've done. It was amazing. It was just cool being outside of Paris. It was the production company, you know, that were like, hey, do you want to perform outside of Paris? And I was like, yeah, you know, Paris is cool, but there's other places outside of France, so let's go. And so they proposed Caen because it's in Normandy, and in Normandy there's a big, I guess, Anglophone community, English people, expats, blah, 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 whatever you want to call them. So I drove up 3 hours in the car, and then arrived in Caen. Nice, cute little town. Hung out with the guys at a hotel, and then we moved over. Bloody hell, look at this. I mean, it just doesn't stop, does it? Ambulance coming down the street. Yeah. Is it an ambulance? I don't know what it is. And then we went to the venue, and the venue was super cool. It's like this little place called El Camino. It's a little bar opposite a church, and in the underground there's like a, it's just like this black room, painted black walls, and just perfect for stand-up comedy. Just a really low ceiling, just amazing for comedy, really great room. And so we got there, we set up all the seats. There was about 80 seats there. Show was sold out, which was amazing. And it was so much fun. There was they somehow randomly had a Union Jack carpet that I decided to put on the floor, just because I thought, yeah, why not? And you might have seen the picture that I put on Instagram and stuff like that. But the room was incredible. The crowd were crazy. They were mostly French, unsurprisingly for me, but more surprisingly for the production company. Like, oh, there's a big expat community here. I'm like, yeah, I'm still going to attract French people, because every one of my shows, 90-95% of the people are French, and then the rest are expats or people from other countries or whatever. So the show just went really well. I had so much fun. It was so hot, so unbelievably hot in this small room, underground, small ceiling, 80 people in there, and I was literally soaked through. My whole shirt was see-through. I had... My trousers were wet, everything was wet, and I knew I was hot, but I didn't realize how hot I was until at the very end, when I did a bit of a YouTube video to thank everyone. I was like, hey, you know, this was gone, here are the crown. And I looked at my face before I recorded the video. I said to the audience, yeah, it's really hot, I don't know if you can tell that I'm really hot. And they're like, no. I was like, oh, good. And then I got the camera out, put the selfie mode on, saw my face. I was like, what do you mean you can't tell? And then they all, it was hilarious for them, because they were like, no, we couldn't tell. Obviously being sarcastic. So anyway, I sweated a lot. Luckily, I brought another t-shirt with me. So that was cool for the ride back. So the gig went super well. It was a lot of fun. That was great. And then, what I had to do was basically drive back. And I drove back in the evening. So the gig finished, I don't know, it was at 8. I can't remember what time it finished. 8, 10, 11, no, 11, I think I left. Obviously had a beer with the guys from the production company beforehand. And then I drove back to Paris, got home at 2 a.m. Then had to pack for New York the next day. Basically, I had to get up super early in the morning to drop Mademoiselle off at the train station, because she was going to a wedding in the south of France, but the train was at like 7 a.m. So we had to get up at 5. So basically, I had 3 hours sleep between the 2 a.m. That I got back and packed and everything, and then woke up really early to drop Mademoiselle off at the train station. And then this was also, by the way, at the morning of the Brexit stuff that was happening. And so as I was driving her to the train station, I was driving then to the airport. That's when we all found out, great, Brexit, we're not, it's not, we, yeah, I mean, it was gone, that was it, we were finished. Sit Brexit, everyone wants to leave, amazing, why are we doing this? So I get to the airport about 2 hours early for my flight, or 2 hours earlier than I should have been there for the flight. So I sat down, and it was fun. I was just sitting at the airport for like 2 hours, reading through all the Brexit stuff that was happening and looking at the reactions. And I was like, wow, this is a little bit intense, because I don't think anyone expected it, I think. So I thought, oh God, what am I going to do? Like, I'll have to come up with some material. And I thought, I'll make a video. I should probably make a video about it, because I was reading up, and I was just like, oh, this is really annoying. And I didn't really get through much of the stuff, but what was a lot of fun was just sitting at the airport, just writing material. And for the whole flight, basically, I was writing as well. The flight to New York, I was writing stuff about Brexit. I was like, yes, this is going to be fun. I'm going to do a video. I was thinking about the video, because I'd released a video. It hadn't come out yet at the time, with Toppy Toe, the website that's like the BuzzFeed of France, a cool website. And I recorded a video with them about tourists in Paris. And I thought, oh, it'd be cool to do another video. Just a Brexit. I don't know. I just thought, now's the time to strike with Brexit. So I wrote a bunch of material. I didn't end up doing anything with it, unfortunately. Mostly because as soon as Brexit happened, then John Oliver, my compatriot who lives in the US, who's got his own show, Last Week Tonight, he did a whole bit on Brexit. And funnily enough, we actually There was like two or three of the jokes were exactly the same that I'd thought about, and he or his writing team did. I mean, they weren't exactly the same. His were much better. But I thought, I'm not going to... I did stuff about Independence Day, the film, the fact that when Nigel Farage was like, oh, let this be our Independence Day. I'm pretty sure not the only two to come up with that. But I was just like, ah, okay, maybe not. So I just end up doing nothing with the Brexit stuff. But it was just fun to write. I hadn't had inspiration for really writing, on a computer rather than just thinking about something that happened. So that was cool. Like, I was just like, oh, okay, cool. I can actually do stuff and find some funny stuff around current events. So that was an exciting discovery, Paul. Yeah, well done. So, flight was okay to New York. And then I got off the plane in New York and I'd realized that I hadn't... I'd forgotten to do my ESTA visa thing beforehand. So literally the night when I arrived at 2 a.m. Back from Cork, then I did my ESTA and it was all fine. But then when I landed in New York, because I guess it was a new ESTA or whatever, for some reason I got put into the immigration queue, which was like the immigration queue that had no white people in it, basically. There was a big cross on my thing and I was sitting there going, oh, okay, cool. And then I didn't realize, it took me a while to look around me and literally I was the only white person there. Everyone else was like of Arabic origin or Indian or whatever. There was there was a Syrian family in front of me. And I was just like, oh, okay, this is, maybe I won't get let in here. I don't understand why. Because normally I just go straight through at the immigration in the US. Anyway, that was kind of scary, but it was fine. I got through. They asked me, what do you do? And I was like, I'm a comedian. Oh, haha, make me laugh. I was like, no, fuck you. No, that didn't happen. I just said I was a comedian and they're like, oh, okay. Welcome to the United States. Because I looked through my passport, I don't know, I've got 25 stamps in my, US stamps in my passport from the time that I was there. Anyway, got through, got a taxi into the center of New York, and the taxi was a fucking nightmare. It was just an hour and a half of a taxi. An hour and a half just to get, it was shocking. It was the worst traffic I've ever seen. Same traffic on the way back when I got a taxi back from New York to the airport. It was just a nightmare. And the guy was also, he had no idea where he was going. He couldn't type the name of the address of where I was staying. I was staying in a place called Christie Street. The guy couldn't spell it. So he called up his taxi lord. I don't know what they are, those people, the taxi, I don't know what they're called, the people that run the taxis. Calls him up and then they spend 10 minutes figuring out how to fucking spell Christie. I'm like, you could have just asked me. Yeah, I've got it on my phone. So anyway, he types it in there. He like breaks his iPhone holder. We almost crash. It was just a nightmare. Anyway, hour and a half. And basically had time to go home, get changed and watch a little bit of football. And then go to the show, so I had my 1 hour show, the hashtag Franglais in New York, which was mental. It still hasn't really sunk in that I performed an hour show in New York, because the thing is, if you're a comedian in New York, you spend like decades doing, like struggling, going around clubs, doing 10 minutes, doing 15 minutes, doing 20 minutes, max like 40 minutes for your career. And that's what happens. Like you spend after 1 year of doing this professionally, so to speak, I rock up to New York and do an hour show. Like seriously, that doesn't, just felt very, very strange. I felt very humbled. I was like, yeah, this is super cool. But the show was great. Again, I'd say it wasn't as good as Caen. I preferred the show in Caen. I had more energy. I guess, I was jet lagged. I just got off the plane and then now I've got to get on stage. So the audience were great. The people in the audience, there was some people in the audience that was fantastic who were dressed like me. A couple came like in a shirt and a tie. And I don't know if they specifically came dressed like me. They told me they did when I asked them in the audience. I'm like, oh, you came dressed with the shirt and tie. You came on purpose. They're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's fucking cool, man. And again, most of the audience were French, but there was some Italians in there. There was some Venezuelan people in there. It was really good fun. The room was fantastic. Everything was super cool. And one of my good friends from Montreal, he actually opened for me. He came down to visit from Montreal. And I said to him, do you want to do 5 minutes at the top of the show? And he was like, Do I? I'm not sure that I do. But he did, because he started comedy as well. He's just recently quit his job and started comedy like me. And he did 5 minutes opening for me, and it was cool. It was a lot of fun. I think he learned a lot from it. He was just like, oh, okay, I'm used to like a Quebec crowd, and the French crowd are a little bit different than a Quebec crowd. And it was a lot of fun. It was super cool that he opened for me. And then basically I stayed on for another French comedian. He was doing a show after me, so I stayed on for that. And then they were all going down to the Comedy Cellar, the famous Comedy Cellar. I didn't go. I was too tired. I went to bed. I was going to die. I was going to collapse. Because I like performing jet lag. That's what happened. And so basically that was the show. The show went really well. Super happy, super humbled. And there was there was another show the next day as well. And basically, I mean, people have asked me, oh, how was New York? I was like, yeah, it was good. And they're like, oh, what did you do? What did you see? I'm like, well, I saw the inside of a really dark pub near my friend's house that I was staying at, because basically we just watched the football, the Euro stuff in that pub, because, I mean, obviously the US, there's not many places to watch the football. And so we just ended up doing that. I didn't really see any of New York. I've been there a couple of times before, but that was it. I did go on a boat, which was cool. Went on a bit of a boat trip with the guys. You may have seen a video that I put on Facebook. It was a boat trip just around the bay, or whatever you call it, the harbour. I don't know what the port. I don't know what they call it over there. But it was cool. Saw the Statue of Liberty. Never actually saw the Statue of Liberty up close last time I was in New York. Never seen it ever. So that was fun. But I was too busy recording a video. That's life, isn't it? That's what you do. And so, yeah, we were went to... I've just written all this shit down. I can't even remember. I went to a bar, just the bar, whatever. Oh, we did the next day after my show. So the 25th now we're at. There was a showcase of... it was an English-speaking show, so that like the four of us who performed in French were going to perform in English alongside other Americans. And it was fun. It was a cool, like a proper New York comedy club. What was hilarious about it was we typed it into Google to get the directions there on Google Maps. And on Google Maps, when you type in stuff, now it's got the stuff where it's got like reviews and stars and stuff like that. So we type it in. And it wasn't the best review to start with. So we typed it in. I'm just bringing up the screenshot if I can find it again. So it has 2.6 out of 5 reviews. And we're like, oh, okay. And then the comments, like one of the comments says, rip off, total scam. Unfortunately, we were lied to about the comedian lineup. That's a great one. And then the second one, second comment, I like this one, says, you can smell the failure in the air when you walk in. Lesson learned. So I guess it's not one of the the most renowned comedy clubs in New York, but it was still nonetheless a comedy club in New York that I performed at with other Americans, which was, again, super fun. I did like 7 minutes or something. Just really cool to be out there performing comedy. And then straight afterwards, the guys who were organizing the French Comedy Festival, that's who I was out there with, by the way, French Comedy Festival, that's the name of the thing. And they were super cool, really cool guys and girls that run that place. And they'd organized straight afterwards a limousine to take us to dinner. And the limousine was quite rather interesting, because I've never been in a limo before, and it was just one of those things, like, it's everything that I thought it would be, you know, neon lights, music, champagne, and the phone number on the side of the limousine. It was, that's exactly what it was, and we had fun. It was cool. I was too English and too, what's the word, too shy isn't the word, but you know, just too awkward. There we go, back to the Hugh Grant moment. Imagine Hugh Grant in a limousine. There's like 10 of us in there, and I was just like, oh, this is weird. I don't really know how to behave in this actual interaction socially here, so it's kind of awkward. That was good. The other super interesting thing in New York was, so I was staying in my mate's flat. And we were in his lift going down the stairs. That doesn't make sense, does it? We were in the lift going down the stairs. No, we were in a lift going down from his apartment. And he was talking to me about comedy. I don't know. He asked me about my gigs in Paris and how they were going. And if I do 10 minutes, do I always do the same 10 minutes and all this kind of stuff how is it different to my 1 hour show? And as the doors open, like the next floor down, and who walks into the elevator with his laundry bag? Todd Barry, who's a massive US comedian. If you don't know him, you should look him up. He's hilarious, and he's one of the most famous comedians in the US. A good friend of Louis C.K.'s, I think, because his recent special was called the Todd Barry Crowdwork Tour. So it's just funny, and we're still talking. Like, Chris obviously didn't recognize him, and I was sitting there going, oh, okay, yeah, Chris, you just keep asking me about my comedy and what I do. And I could see, as I was talking, replying to the questions, I could see Todd Barry's face being like, oh, this guy's talking about comedy. Okay, this is interesting. I didn't say hi because I'm too much of a dickhead and too much of an asshole to be able to do that. So that was cool. What else did I do there? I mean, I'm still talking about New York now. I just watched the football, Ireland, France. That was cool, in the Irish pub. That was fun. Oh, and then we actually went to play football. Me and Chris and my mate Rolly, we actually were like, fuck it, well, let's buy a football and go to the Central Park and play football. So we did, and it was boiling hot. It was so hot. It was unreal. I had to buy an extra t-shirt from Uniqlo because I knew I was going to start sweating. And we started playing football in the park, and it was so hot, like in the sun, where there was a bunch of other people playing football, and we were like, oh, yes, I was already dying. From minute one, I was already sweating like a fucking pig, and it was just horrific. I don't know, and so we played in our bare socks and stuff. I busted my toe. I was sweating, like properly sweating. It was just a horrific idea. It was just horrible. I mean, it was fun because it was playing football in Central Park, right? But it was just unreal. One thing I'd noticed about New York, which I didn't really notice before, it's just like it's a bit of a dirty, disgusting city. Just like, I thought Paris was bad. I thought the metro in Paris was bad and it smelled a lot like piss. But everything was kind of fairly old, and I was a little bit disappointed because it's funny because every time I've been to New York, I've just been like, nah, it's like, I don't know. I haven't seen the magic that everyone does. And it really pisses me off because I want to see the magic, but I just don't see it. I've been to other cities like Portland in the US, and I really love Portland. Portland's amazing. And for some reason, I don't know. But what I did, we went to Williamsburg, which is in Brooklyn or something like that. That was fun. That was cool. It was a bit more hipster and less touristy and all that kind of stuff. So I enjoyed that. On my last day in New York, we ended up watching more football. The whole morning we watched Italy, Spain, and we watched England and Iceland. And I'm not even going to talk about England and Iceland because that was such a shocker. You know, what happened to England in this tournament? Like I do every tournament, it doesn't matter. I don't really care. Enough about New York now. I came back to Paris on the Tuesday. The following, like the 28th. And I had my last show at the Sceaux Gymnase that same night. So again, another jet lag. I mean, going from a one-hour show in Caen to the next day flying to New York, doing a one-hour show there, to spend a couple of days in New York to fly back to Paris. And as I land, I have to get on stage and do another hour show. But I tell you what, it was a lot of fun. I did my final show at the Sceaux Gymnase. And, you know, I had such a cool time at that place. It's still home for me. It's where I started performing 3 years ago in English and in French. And it's been my home for the last 6 months for the show. And it was pretty full. I think it was, it wasn't sold out, but it was, I don't know, it was a good like 50 people there. As opposed to the rest of June, which for some reason was just dead. There was just, I don't know what it was. Really don't know what it was. But it was always half the room empty. So it was good that people came out. And I think the reason that they did come out for that was the video that came out with Topito about my top 10 or top 7 tips for tourists coming to Paris. It was a quick video that we put together, you know, in like a couple of weeks. A lot of fun, and it got like 800,000 views within the first couple of days, combined between their Facebook page and their Twitter page. I haven't their YouTube page. I haven't really looked at it recently because usually with their videos once it gets to, once it starts, what's the word, plateauing, then it plateaus properly and it just suddenly just stops because they release videos all the time. It's had 476,000 on Facebook. And then on YouTube, 476 plus 425, so 900,000 now we're at. So that's fucking great, 900,000. It didn't quite get to a million, but it got far enough. Super cool that the team allowed me to make the video, and Urbain, who my friend who wrote most of it, and then I went back and rewrote it in my voice. I think a lot of people came to the show because of that. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I don't know. I know at least one person did, because after the show, they're like, oh, I saw your video on Toppy Toe yesterday, and I thought, I absolutely have to come and see you. So that's cool. It's always cool when people say that and people tell you how they come to the show. So yeah, I did my last show at the SoGymnase in anticipation, Paul. Come on! It's only been 25 minutes and you're already flacking. In anticipation of my change of room at the Sentier des Halles. I'm already boring myself in this podcast, sorry. I'll wrap this up because I've got nothing. I mean, I'm bored on my own talking to myself here. I'm sure you are as well, just like, oh, you're a fucking chart, Paul. Move on. Anyway, yeah, I moved my show to another theatre called Sentier des Halles, which is a bigger room. It's got 108 capacity, very specific, because they've got rows of 12. 108. So I was shitting myself, if I'm honest, because I just thought, well, the June hasn't been going so well at the SoGymnase. We've had about 35 people each show. If we have 35 people, that means that it's going to be like literally a quarter full, and not even half full. Not literally a quarter, because that would be 120. Anyway, I was just really worried that people wouldn't show up, and to my surprise, it was sold out. The different thing. About this new venue is that they've put tickets on five different ticket portals, whereas at the SoGymnase it was only on one or two, and so I'm unable really to have a following of the numbers apart from if they email me the how many people buy the tickets. So I think it was on the Friday or Saturday it would like 30 people had booked, and that, for them that was like, yeah, that's cool, that's good, you know, 30 people, that's better than a kick in the face. And then when I showed up on Tuesday, it's like, yeah, it's kind of sold out for tonight, we've got 106 people in for the 108, and then two people came, so it was fully packed. And oh, it was just so much fun. I really enjoyed it. After like a month of shows that didn't go necessarily that well, it was just great to have three back-to-back shows, you know, go really well. Well, not even back-to-back, you know, because the last one at SoGymnase was fun, but it was difficult. Yeah, that the last one at the SoGymnase there, even it was like 40 people, was just, it was like pulling teeth. It was really just the typical French audience, which just sit there and don't really laugh, but enjoy it anyway. You know, it was just difficult. So anyway, it was cool to change rooms. The room's bigger. It's in a cave. There's a bar. The lighting is amazing. We managed to somehow almost recreate the British flag in the background on stage. And I can light up my beer specifically on the stool. It's just a cool room. The people are great. And the audience were cool. I had some friends there that came and surprised me, and it was great. And the good news is that this week, so I'm performing again in like 4 hours at the same place, my second show there. It is sold out as well, which is sweet. And the next 2 weeks are looking good. I just got an email as we were speaking. That 56 people have booked for next week, and then 28 for the week after. So that means it's going well. It's going well. I'm super happy at the Sentier des Halles, and I might be staying there when I come back in September. Hopefully I will. That would be cool because it's a cool room, and if I get to perform there in September, it would be amazing. But that's not up to me. It's up to the people that work there. If I'm doing if I do well enough, which I think it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I don't know. It's just it's cool. It's cool to be having to be enjoying comedy again after a month or two of just not liking it for a little bit. Just all sorts of shit going on where I felt like I'd lost my voice and lost the stage. It's just it's all about the stage, really. There's TV stuff happening. There's other stuff. There's videos happening. You know, it's just it. But all of that shit doesn't matter. It's all about getting on stage and making people laugh. That's what makes me happy. And when there's people in the room, it's even better. Speaking about making people laugh, I did have one experience this last week, which I was always wanted to do. It's been a while that I've been wanting to do, and I finally got to do it, and I'm never going to do it again. And it was to give a speech at a wedding. Oh, it was so much fun. I was stressed out. One of my best friends, a couple of best friends, like the couple that I know are best friends, and you know what I mean. Basically, two people who I really love were getting married. Fuck, it wasn't that complicated, Paul. And they live in Amsterdam. They got married there. They invited me out there, and it was a really, really, really cool wedding. A hipster as anything, just stylish, amazing. It was great. And they'd asked me to say a couple of words during the dinner and that kind of stuff. You know, they have a there was the best man who gave his speech, and then I was giving my speech. I was very thankful that they wanted me to talk, because I was like, yes, finally. None of my close, super close friends have got married yet. Like any of the people that I would be in contention for best man. And I won't be best man anyway, just because they've got brothers and they were best men for their brothers anyway. So I was like, oh, I'm never going to do a best man speech. It's not, you know, I've always wanted to do that. I don't know why. And so I did it. I was shitting myself. I've never been so nervous in my life delivering that speech, preparing it, than I have. I mean, performing in front of people that I don't know is so much easier, because basically you can come and watch me for 10 minutes at whatever show, and then afterwards I don't have to ever see you again. And if you didn't like me, doesn't matter. You don't need to speak to me. Whereas this one, it was like, well, I'm going to have to deliver a speech, and no matter what happens afterwards, whether it's good or not, I'm going to have to spend another 4 hours with these people drinking and eating and dancing, probably. And so I tried to prepare something, I was so nervous. I just kept on drinking before. I was just drinking. So I delivered the speech a little bit drunk, let's say, and. I mean, in my mind, it didn't go very well. Like, it, for me, it just... And that's the thing, like, I think it did go well. I think people really enjoyed it. And I got some good feedback, and everyone was like, yeah, it was cool. But it's just... Because I've never done it before at a wedding. I've only done it on stage. And if I was in my show on stage, I'd have been like, yeah, it could have been much better. It could have been really much better than that. Because it's a wedding, and also I think people were expecting, people that know me anyway at the wedding were like, oh, funny boy, this is going to be good. And so the expectation was set really high. And also, the best man who went on before me fucking killed it. It was hilarious. And because no one was like, oh, here's the comedian, he's going to deliver a good speech. It's the best man. It might be funny, it might not be. And it was hilarious. So then it's like, oh, okay, the real comedian's going to get on. And I think the expectations were too high for me, and I was unable to deliver. But it was good. I don't care how well it went for me. It's not about me. It was about the wedding couple, and if they enjoyed it, that was the thing that mattered. So all is well. I'm back from Amsterdam, back in Paris, ready to perform my show tonight. And I'm here basically... in Paris until I go and watch Louis C.K. in London. That's the next destination. And so, I've just got to perform my show, keep going, have the meetings that I've got to have with people regarding certain projects and all this kind of TV bollocks. And we'll see what happens. So anyway, sorry that it's been 3 weeks that we talked, but it's been 35 minutes now that I'm talking, and I'm going to switch off. Thank you for listening. I'm sorry that I banged on a bit. I was boring myself, and this wasn't one of the best podcasts, but it had to be done, and I'll see what's happening for the next coming week. I'll tell you all about the show and all that kind of shit next week at some stage. All right, piss off. Thanks for listening. Bye.